Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, early on it was quite apparent I wasn't real good with instructions. I can remember at a very, very young age, like most kids, you got model airplanes or model ships or something to put together. And instructions in me just didn't get along. Just could never seem to make it work reading it on a piece of paper. I remember once in fifth grade, we needed to go out and buy a toy rocket. It was about this big. It wasn't very expensive. But it was a rocket that was designed to use over and over again. Came with little disposable engines that went on the inside, and it had a parachute that popped out once it got so high so that it would drift softly to the ground, and you could use it again. So I'm struggling for a class project to put this together. Came to realize that through my, whether I was hurrying or whatever, I forgot to put in what was called the engine stop, okay? Which meant if I put the engine in the rocket and I lit it, the engine would fly right out the top of the rocket and everything would blow up and be right there on the ground. And there was no way to put it in after. So to complete the course and to get the grade, I had to improvise. I had to glue the engine into the rocket, okay, which meant it got used once. And as it would have it, the parachute didn't open either. So it was just all kind of, I guess, meant to be. These are things that growing up, you know, my father must have figured out very young that I just didn't do well with someone trying to explain something to me as to how to do it, especially if it was something outside of my daily activity. He learned quite early that I was a hands-on person. Now, beginning to work with Dad when I was 12 years old and understanding that instructions, that type of thing, didn't work, throughout the course of time, I had certain responsibilities when we got on the job site. Those responsibilities grew as I got better at the job and ultimately ended up with my own truck tools and an installer. But to start with, there was only some things he was willing to let me do, because he was ultimately responsible for what we were doing. So there would be lulls where I would do what I was supposed to do and then I had all this time. And his one rule of thumb was, if you have nothing to do, you be watching me. Don't be looking out the window at the lake we're working on, wondering how big a fish are in there. You know, don't be looking at the flock of geese flying by the window, okay? You watch me. He understood how I learned. And I literally was over his shoulder for 2 years watching that man's hands and what he did. And that's how I learned. You know, because part of it was when you thought you should know something, you were also embarrassed to ask questions about it. And that's usually how you got into trouble. Well, Dad couldn't afford that. He could not afford to have unanswered questions. I had to either know or I didn't before I was allowed to go further and to do other things. And that is how I learned. He taught me something else too. And he really didn't know he was teaching it. But that when you're in the service business, you are servant too. That although you are there performing a service that you are getting paid for, you are still in service to the people in the home. You are there working and doing something for them, which at times was difficult because, as I've mentioned in the past, customers aren't always right, but customers are always the customer. And his mild-mannered way, he taught me that patience, that regardless of what the situation, you owed your best job. And you owed the patience that went along with that. He would have never known he was doing it, but that's what he was doing. He was teaching me something that I did not have, and that was patience and the ability to focus to complete the task. He was a nice guy. He was a very, very quiet man, one of few words. Jesus today, as he walks with his disciples, it's understood that he wanted them by themselves to have intense conversations, to continue to teach, to continue to move forward. And he gives them this very, very, very hard teaching. And Scripture says, and they were afraid to ask about it. Now we ask ourselves, why? Well, on the outside, it's pretty obvious. This is a man who they've come to respect, who they've come to love, and he's forecasting his own death. We don't want to hear about that. We don't want to know about that. So even though they didn't understand the sentence, they were afraid to ask. Even though they did not understand where that would lead him ultimately and where it would lead them, they didn't want to ask. Things were going quite well. Why would we want to know why he's going to die? So Jesus, again, in action and in word, continues to teach. When he finds out they're quarreling, still thinking, still not getting this, that he will be leaving, they want to know who's the most important among them. So they're struggling. They're struggling. And finally sits down and says, folks, it's about serving. It's not about being at the top, it's about serving. It's about giving your best to each and every one around you without thinking about payment, without thinking about what the outcome may be, what you might receive in return, but to give. And he uses a simple young child as an example that said, receive one of these, you receive me, and in receiving me, you receive my Father. But it's just that simple to go out and to receive people and to care for people as if they were all children. Because in God's eyes, we are all children. What does it mean to you to be servant of all? Are we at times afraid to ask that question? Do we wonder? Do we struggle? There was a story, or I should say a response, that was given to me just recently that I think pretty much says it all. Came through a friend from a friend. And this particular friend has challenges. When asked, what does this mean to you to be servant of all? And the answer was simple and straightforward. I want to help. I want to help. To be a servant of all, to follow Christ, means that we look to help. It means that we look to love. It means that we must forgive, even though sometimes that's one of the hardest things there is to do. I mean, to hold on to grudges and anger and hatred, boy, that's human nature. It really is. And Jesus is calling on us to reverse that, to not look at how high we can get, but how low we can get, and how we can serve our fellow man here. Knowing full well the journey will not always be easy, knowing at the end, as with Jesus, there will be death. But in his death, there is life, and so will it be for you and I. Now, some may ask, well, okay, that's heavy. It's a burden. Where's the grace? Where's the love? And the love is this, that just as Jesus took in that child, God takes you in. Just as Jesus receives that child and we receive that child in Jesus' name, God receives you. God takes you and holds you as a child of God. He gives you the strength and the ability to face any task and in the end to meet the needs of those in need, to serve where and when needed, where and when asked, where and when called. Jesus calls his disciples and us to a ministry that does not lead to a physical throne. It does not necessarily lead to profit or material gain. It leads to service. How often have we heard the words, the last must be first and the first must be last? Growing up, that was a favorite thing in the little church that I went to, and it wasn't always applied the way it was meant. But it is the truth. Jesus came to serve all. And in his ministry, in his words, in his actions, in his sacrifice, in his love, and in his rising, he did all of those. And he did them for you and me. And filled with that hope, filled with that grace, filled with his love, we're asked to go out and to do the same. Put others first. Put others first. Just as he receives children, receive one another in his name. Amen.